your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. Timmy was a five-year-old boy. His mother loved him dearly. She was concerned for her son as he was starting kindergarten. He was only five, and she wasn't quite comfortable with his walking to school in the mornings by himself, so she walked to school with him the first couple of days. At the end of the week, Timmy came home from school and he informed his mother that he didn't want her walking him to school. He wanted to be like the big boys and didn't think it was really necessary for his mom to walk him to school. So his mom had an idea. She said, she asked a neighbor if she would follow Timmy to school in the mornings. And she said, look, just kind of stay at a distance so that he doesn't notice. And so the next day, the neighbor lady, she loaded her baby in a stroller and she followed Timmy as he walked to school with his friend. And the neighbor did this for an entire week. She followed Timmy as he made his way to school. As the two boys walked and talked, Timmy's friend noticed this lady following them every day. And finally, he said to Timmy, have you noticed that same lady following us to school every day this week? Do you know who she is? And Timmy replied, yeah, I know who she is. That's Shirley Goodnest and her daughter Marcy. And Timmy's friend said, well, Shirley Goodnest, who in the world is that? And why is she following us? Timmy quickly explained, he said, well, every night when we pray, my mom and I recite the 23rd Psalm. And this psalm says, surely Goodnest and Marcy shall follow me all the days of my life. So Timmy said to his friend, I guess I'm just going to have to get used to them following me everywhere that I go. Today we're wrapping up our series on Psalm 23. And we're looking at answers to the fear that we have towards the future. A number of you have commented how helpful this series has been to you, and I praise God that He is at work in your life. I'm convinced that God's Word is relevant, and I believe as we lean in to listen that God speaks into our daily lives. The late great trumpet player Louis Armstrong tells a story about growing up in Louisiana. He had been instructed to go down to the pond and retrieve some water for his mother. And so Louis made his way down to the water's edge, but about the time he reached down to scoop some water, he noticed two huge eyes staring back at him. So Louis dropped his bucket. He ran back to the house. He slammed the door behind him. His mother said, where's my water? And he answered and said, Mama, I just couldn't get the water. His mom questioned, why not? And Louis said, Mama, there's a huge alligator in the pond. He said, I'm never going near that pond again. His mother tried to encourage him. She said, Louis, that alligator has lived in that pond for years. She said, I bet that alligator is just as afraid of you as you are of him. And Louis said, well, Mama, if that alligator is as afraid of me as I am of him, then that water ain't fit for drinking. The rest of you'll laugh later today when that sinks in. But there are a lot of people that are full of fear. We worry about the past, we worry about the present, we worry about the future. And when you read the 23rd Psalm, you quickly discover that David is not worried about the future. David does not fear what lies ahead. Look at what he wrote in verse 6. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you consider what David proclaimed here in verse 6, he speaks of not fearing the future. He testifies of not worrying about tomorrow. David is confident, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And so I ask you this morning, where do you get that kind of confidence? Where do you get that kind of peace concerning the future? Listen, friend, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, there are three reasons why you don't need to fear the future. And David highlights three reasons that as God's children, we are not to worry about the future. And the first is because God is watching over me. David announced, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. Friend, it is because God is good that you and I can expect His protection and His provision for our lives. God is good. Amen? He's good all the time. And David believed in a sure God who makes sure promises, a God who provides a sure foundation. In Christ, we have a sure God who makes sure promises, and He provides a solid foundation for us. Psalm 145:20 says, the Lord watches over all who love Him. And friend, I want you to know God cares about the details of your life. We may not know what holds the future, but we know who holds the future. Amen? God is in control. And you can be assured that He loves you and He wants to help you. God is watching over you. Our mood may shift from day to day. Our mood may shift from moment to moment, but God's doesn't. Our devotion may falter, but God's never does. In fact, the scripture says, even if we are faithless, God is faithful, for He cannot betray Himself. He is a sure God. And because He is a sure God, we can state with confidence, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What does that statement mean? What did David mean by that? Surely goodness will follow me. Obviously, David had some major disappointments in life. Not everything that happened in David's life was good. Church, David is not suggesting that only good things are going to happen to me, because that's simply not true. Bad things happen to God's people. What David means is that good things will come out of even the bad, even the difficult. David proclaims that a good God will ensure that good eventually comes out of the bad. That is the great promise that God gives to believers in Romans chapter 8. Paul shares this promise with believers, a promise for those who have placed their faith in Christ. It says, we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are called according to His purpose. All things work together for our good. It doesn't say all things are good. It says all things are working together for our good. Friend, God will take that which we encounter in life and He will use it to make us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. He will use it to conform us to the image of His Son. That is what David means when he says, surely goodness will follow me. Friend, there is no difficulty, no dilemma, no defeat, there is no disaster in the life of a Christian that God won't ultimately bring some good out of it. And often for us, it's hard for us to see God's goodness when we're going through a tragedy. There are times when you don't feel like God is good. There are times when you will begin to question His mercy. There are times when you feel like God's goodness is hidden. We don't immediately see God's goodness in the situation. But experience tells me that it's often later, it's often looking back, that we can see the goodness of our God. It's looking back that we can see how Jesus. I'm not suggesting this morning that only good things will happen to you. I know there are some preachers who preach that kind of garbage, but that's not what the truth of Scripture says. I'm not saying only good things will happen to you. You can be sure that bad things will happen. But God will somehow bring good out of even the bad that you encounter in life. Use Paul as an example. Paul was falsely put in prison in Rome. Was that good? No. He was chained as a prisoner in a Roman jail. But let me remind you what took place. While he was there, he wrote some books that we now call the New Testament. Goodness followed after his imprisonment. Goodness follows for the believer. David says, God's goodness and God's mercy will follow you. For many of you, this may be an unexpected way to describe God, because we tend to think of a God who remains in one place. We think of a God who sits enthroned in the heavens and rules and ordains. But David envisions a mobile God, an active God. David envisions a God who follows after us, a God who pursues us, who chases after us. David saw a God who tracks us down and wins us over. He describes a God who follows us with His goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Friend, have you sensed God chasing after you? Because I'm convinced we miss Him. We miss Him when He comes through the kindness of a stranger or the majesty of a sunset. We miss Him through the question of a child or through the commitment of a spouse. We often miss Him when He comes through a word well spoken or a touch well timed. Friend, have you sensed God chasing after you? The first reason not to fear the future is because God is watching over me. A second reason the Christian should not fear the future is because God's grace is working in me. God's grace is working in me. Not only will goodness follow you, but David said, surely mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 10, God says, I will have mercy on you through my grace. And what is grace? Grace is all that God is able to do for us because of Christ. John Stott describes grace like this. He said, grace is love that cares. Grace is love that stoops. Love that rescues. Friend, grace is the fact that God gives you what you need, not what you deserve. If you're glad God doesn't give you what you deserve, say amen. The Bible teaches that God is gracious, and He gives us what we need, not what we deserve. What is mercy? Mercy is God's grace in action. Friend, the reason that you and I need mercy is because we are imperfect people. We stumble and we fall. We blow it and make mistakes. We need not only God's goodness, but we need His mercy. We need His forgiveness. We need His pardon. We need His healing. Mercy means that when I'm going through a tough time, when I'm walking through the valley, when I'm going through some difficulty, even one that I've brought on myself, I can be confident that God is there to help me. Friend, mercy, like goodness, it follows us in life. Look again what David said in verse 6. He said, mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You might want to circle that phrase, all the days. You'll notice David didn't say some of the days. No, he said God's mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And that's a huge statement. Think about the size of this. Goodness and mercy will follow you as a child of God each and every day. I want you to think of the days that lie ahead. What do you see coming down the pike? Days maybe at home with a toddler? God will be at your side. Days in a dead-end job, God will walk you through. Days of loneliness, God will take your hand. Days of uncertainty, God will be with you every step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me, not some and not most, but God's goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Friend, God doesn't turn His goodness and mercy off and on. He doesn't treat you nice one day and badly next. No, David says, all the days of my life, I will have God's goodness and His mercy chasing after me. Listen, I can assure you that you're going to experience difficult days in life. I'm talking about sad, sick, depressing, lonely days. That's why we fear the future, right? We develop fear because we're not sure what's going to happen. But listen, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, then you will never face a day without God's goodness and His mercy. God will be with you all the time. Some days you may not feel it. Some days you may not see God's mercy and His goodness. But surely, without a doubt, God's goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. God's goodness will take care of the good days, and His mercy will take care of the bad days. And you ask Jason, how can you be sure? Friend, you can be sure because God cannot tell an untruth. God never breaks a promise. We get worked up and we worry about the future, but as Christians, we go into the future not with a question mark, but we go into the future with an exclamation point. If God says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, then they will. Friend, if you have a personal relationship with Christ, if Jesus is your shepherd, then you can be sure that He will be with you no matter what you face in life. God's goodness will provide and protect, while His mercy will pardon and forgive. God's goodness will supply, while His mercy will soothe. God's goodness will help you, while His mercy will heal you. Goodness leads God to give us good things in life, things that we don't deserve. And it's His mercy that leads Him to hold back the condemnation that we all deserve. And church, we need both in our lives. We need God's goodness, and we need His mercy. As followers of Christ, God is watching over me, and His grace is working in me. And a third reason you should not fear the future is because God's heaven is waiting for me. Heaven is waiting for me. David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think this is one of the most important connections that we see in Scripture. As David connects yesterday and today with tomorrow, God says, I have this great life planned for you. And surely goodness and mercy are going to follow you through it. But that's not the end. David closes this psalm saying that if you know the Lord as your shepherd, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then friend, heaven is waiting for you. David saves the best for last. Amen. He promises, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, David talks about death for the believer, death for the Christian. And what he says is this, we know that our body will be destroyed, but when that happens, God will have a house for us. And it'll not be a house made by human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven that will last forever. Somebody tell me how long forever is going to last. Forever is a long time, amen? And church, one of these days your body is going to die, but that's not going to be the end of you. The Bible points out that you're going to live forever in one of two places. You're either going to spend eternity in heaven, or you're going to spend forever in hell. And those are both very real places. And the Bible is clear. You will spend eternity in one or the other. Your physical body will die and go to the grave. But the real you will not die. The real you inside will not die because God made you to last forever. Why are Christians the most confident people about the future? It's because we look forward with confidence. We are not afraid because we're aware that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Friend, death for the follower of Christ is nothing more than a transfer. It's a promotion. Death means that we're moving on to better things. But I want you to follow me here. Why would you go through life totally unprepared for something that is inevitable? I mean, after all, one of these days you're going to die. One day your body is going to shut down. Why would you not prepare now for what you know will eventually happen? Friend, if you receive Christ in this life, the Bible teaches that you will go to heaven in the next life. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But friend, if you do not place your trust in Him now, the Bible is clear that you're going to spend eternity in hell. And the choice is yours. You can choose to follow Jesus, and if so, heaven awaits. Or you can choose to do nothing, and if so, hell awaits. You say, Jason, what will heaven be like? In heaven, you'll be rewarded for your faithfulness to God and obedience to Christ. In heaven, you will be reunited with loved ones who knew the Lord. In heaven, you will be released from pain and sorrow and suffering and depression and fear. Revelation 21:4 promises He, meaning Christ, He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All of that has gone forever. Does everybody go to heaven when they die? The answer is no. Not everyone will go to heaven. The only people allowed into heaven are those who turn from their sin and confess their faith in Jesus Christ. For in heaven is for those who cry out and say, God, I want you to be my Lord. It's for those who say, God, I want you to call the shots in my life. I want to turn from sin, and I want to put my life under your control, under your management. Church, God has reserved for His children the priceless gift of eternal life with Him. But I need to be clear, everyone is created by God, but not everyone is a child of God. You only become God's child when you ask Him to adopt you into His family, when you turn from your sin, when you place your trust in Jesus Christ, and you receive His gift of salvation, then and only then are you included in the family of God. You see, ultimately, it's what you and I do with Christ in this life that determines what He will do with us in the life to come. Let me just ask you this morning, if you were to die this afternoon, are you absolutely certain that you would go to heaven? Because friend, let me tell you, you don't want to be uncertain about this. Because eternity is at stake. Heaven or hell is in the balance. I don't have any doubt in my mind that I'll go to heaven when my life on earth is complete. And it's certainly not because, it's not because I deserve heaven, because I don't. But heaven is awaiting me because I've done what the Bible says I needed to do in order to get ready. I recognized my sin. I repented or turned away from my sin, and I've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Shepherd of my life. I've placed my life under God's management, and I strive daily to live in obedience to Him. Friend, are you absolutely sure that you will live in the house of the Lord forever. It's only as you surrender your life to God, it's only then that you can say, surely, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you surrender your life to Christ, when you place your little hand in His great big hand, God holds on to you. And friend, there is tremendous peace and security. And so I invite you to open your life to Jesus Christ this morning. Would you just ask Jesus to become your Lord? Ask Him to be your boss, to be your shepherd. I remind you that He cannot be your shepherd without becoming your Lord. So invite Him to take control of your life from this day forward. Just in your own words, tell the Lord that you realize that your sin has separated you from Him. Affirm that He sent His one and only Son to the cross to die for your sin. And then confess your faith in Him as you turn away from sin, as you seek to live for Him. Ask Him to come into your life and to make all things new. And the Bible teaches that you need to share with others your decision to follow Christ. And some of you have accepted Christ, but you've been reluctant to move forward with believer's baptism. As we stand to sing, you make your way to the altar and you share with us your decision to follow Christ. Make public your confession of faith in Him. Maybe the Lord's leading to become a part of this church family. It's time that you take action on what the Lord is leading you to do. In Psalm 23, we discover just how much God loves us. And friend, if you know the shepherd, you really don't have anything to fear. You don't need to fear poverty because the Lord is your shepherd. And in Him, you have everything you need. You don't need to fear loneliness, for God is with you. You don't need to fear mistakes, for He guides you on the right path. You don't need to fear failure, for God restores your soul. And you don't need to fear the future, because goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. And you don't even have to fear death, because you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If I were to sum up Psalm 23 in one sentence, it would be this: Jesus is all I need. Say that with me. Jesus is all I need. Friend, you really don't need anything else. Jesus is all I need. The Lord is my shepherd. He is all that I want. Church, what we have in God is greater than what we don't have in life. And I pray that we will live as though we truly believe that to be so. Would you pray with me? Father, we just acknowledge before You this morning in Your presence, Jesus is all we need. He is more than sufficient. He is completely adequate. And God, for many in this room, we've turned away from sin and self. And we put our complete confidence in Your Son Jesus and what He accomplished for us through His life, His death, His resurrection. Father, there are others in this place this morning who will make that very same declaration. God, help us to realize that eternity is in the balance. That what You do with us in the next life is contingent upon what we do with You in this life. So, Father, for those who do not know You, I pray. God, I pray for the drawing of Your Holy Spirit. I pray for recognition of sin and a desire to turn away from that sin and to put their trust in You. God, I just pray that You would move and You would work this morning. Remind us that Your grace is working in us. Remind us that You're at work in our lives and that heaven awaits us. God, help us to live with a sense of victory and joy because we are Yours. Father, move this morning within Your church. Move in our lives, Lord Jesus. This we ask in Christ's name.